All right, from there, let's talk a little bit about some of the Nez Chavez cases, and I'm sure Simon covered a lot of those, but I think what's interesting in all of these cases that we're seeing is that a case will come out, and you'll see it talking about a defective NTA, and you're like, oh my God, this is exhausting. Here's another case where they're talking about it did not have date and time, and it all starts to run together.
And we see courts turning, especially the BIA and to some extent the Fifth Circuit, but doing gymnastics to try to keep Bermudez-Cota and all the decisions that rely on two pieces of paper to form an NTA alive in some way.
And so we have Vieira Garcia, Ordonez Vieira, Arambula is also a Nez Chavez case. And they're all, you know, they deal with Bermudez-Cota and Rosales Vargas. What's important to realize is that every single one of those cases deals with a different aspect of procedure. So when you look at Arambula, they're dealing with the idea of a defective NTA and how to capture jurisdiction. When you look at Vieira Garcia, what that case deals with is how the stop rule applies when it comes to a voluntary return.
Voluntary
departure. And how do you calculate the time? So even though all of these things start to run together, when you sit down to actually look at the cases, they're very specific in whatever the legal argument is and the legal effect of that case.
Lots of splitting hairs. I'm going to jump to the Fifth Circuit really quick with the Rodriguez case, which is, finding that the exact, that at least in the in absentia rescission provision under 240, that it refers to the same provision in the same manner that Nez Chavez relied on. So I love how the Fifth Circuit says, we didn't mess up after Pereira in finding the way we found, but now Nez Chavez, the Supreme Court cleared themselves up by issuing Nez Chavez. Good for them.
Yeah, and so that's a Rodriguez v. Garland. The facts in Rodriguez v. Garland, everybody should read that case. It's a short case, a page and a half or something, right?
Mm-hmm, that's really short.
And what happened in that case is it's an in absentia case, and it was the respondent in that case moved, and the NTA and the notice of hearing did not get to him. The NTA was filed with the court, and he never received notice of hearing. And so the NTA did not have time and place on it. And so the court said that it was a defective document, and therefore, and it had, you read the 240, it was subject to the, you wrote it down.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Give me a moment.
One moment. Stand by.
One moment, please.
There you go.
It's very specific. You read your writing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you look at the facts of Rodriguez v. Garland, it's pretty clear that it's pretty clear, it doesn't say specifically that he didn't file a 751 and then moved when he separated from his wife. The court bought his argument that under 240B5C2, the in absentia order can be issued if DHS shows proper notice, including that the NTA is proper because it has that reference that is similar to that was at issue in Nez Chavez. The in absentia, the rescission provision of the in absentia order part of of 240 does specify that the NTA has to be an NTA as defined under the Act. So it doesn't just reference a notice to appear, it references a notice to appear as defined under the Act. And that's what makes this provision
That's why it's different.
It relies on a proper, that so they're splitting hairs. They split a hair here saying, oh, but because we normally wouldn't, we wouldn't apply Berriera in any other situation other than the stop time rule. However, because Ms. Chavez explicitly says that an NTA as referred to in 240, whatever, must be an NTA that has time and place, and so does the in absentia rescission provision, then we were going to apply it here. This is a really a big case, and I know Simon mentioned it, and it bears repeating. Go back and look at all your in absentia cases right now. Stop what you're doing. Go look at your in absentia cases, because if you don't have a proper NTA, this is one, this is the one circumstance where you don't have to worry about stupid equitable tolling. And if you look at this list, there's a lot of bad equitable tolling decisions cases as well.